The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Get social with us on.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's that time of the early morning that we discuss the affair of business, economics, and trade. And we are greeting you from the number one talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM, wherever you are. It's a Friday of the 10th of April, 2026. Understand that the days are moving. And it's your responsibility to make sure that what best are you making out of the day that you have. Because the fresh air that you have now, other people, you know, are begging to have one more breath. But remember that that is a blessing. The fact that you are awake and listening to Eagle FM Namibia, wake up and do the best that you can do. Particularly one thing that can be a long-term beneficial to the Namibian, not only Namibian economy, but the well-being of the country. This is a platform that the discussion that matters. We bring about a discussion that can be able to assist us, that we must look at the way on how we can, you know, bring about discussion that can be able to assist Namibia to grow socially, economically, politically, and also how we can uplift, you know, Namibian individuals. And I must apologize for my voice today. However, the discussion should continue. And, you know, like any other day, particularly the days of Fridays, we have the Villager newspaper. We have our e-paper, which is out. And we'll also be able to look at the e-paper, particularly from the hour of 7 onward there, as we have done with our discussion. And from there, we'll be able also to engage moving forward. Yeah, that is an ongoing, you know, branding and marketing in Durban, MTC branding and marketing in Durban, ending today. And there's a lot of global experts there, especially when it comes to communication, PR. And yesterday, you know, Josie Ngipandwa just represented Namibia. You know, when you have, you know, expert in the game, you also have your owner that represent you. It was a good representation, particularly when she gave a very great presentation on PR, and also a presentation looking at, you know, crisis management. You can be able to see that even if we have experts coming from around the world, we also have our Namibian people that are able also to shine and also give content. And, you know, you start understanding, you know, when you start engaging with people from various countries, you start understanding that we may have almost same problems, but we have different strategies on how we deal with issues. So that's why it's always very important to make sure that we learn from countries that are doing better. Even countries such as Sudan or South Sudan that is going through war crisis or the worst humanitarian crisis, you can still learn one or two things. There are still things that they are doing well that we are not doing, even if we have a peaceful country. That's why it's quite necessary to make sure that let us not only look at an individual on things that they are doing not right, but learn from that aspect. And yeah, we'll be starting with global affairs. Then we come to continental issues. Then we'll also be able also to look at what is happening at home. Particularly when today we are going to discuss the aspect of a single market. The danger of a single market economy, and also the danger of raw material export that we have spoke so well for the past 15 years or so, but we are still doing, because there is still few to no actions really done, particularly when it comes to deal with raw material exports. And I'm not shocked, but I'm surprised when I'm not able to see our uranium in the top 5 exports. And my question is always to say, if we are the top producer in the world, which means that the world is looking at us first before any other person. But on that ground, that commodity is not in the top five of our export, or it just disappeared from the top five of our exports, particularly for the month of February, the latest statistics, we must really be concerned to say, if it starts fluctuating, what guarantee that is there that is not going to shock us like diamond shocked us? Because those are the things that we also need to ask, to say, what can we do in a short time and also in a long time? Because if it starts fluctuating in this global, unpredictable global economy, what guarantee that is there that is not going to shock us the way diamond have shocked us? But that will be the discussion from the hour 7 there. Looking at global affairs, it is stated that Benjamin Netanyahu, that is the Prime Minister of Israel, has indicated that talks are ongoing, especially with the government of Lebanon, especially regarding peace, because what has been happening, the world was shocked after Iran and U.S. Agreed for 2 weeks ceasefire. Israel continue bombing, Lebanon. But it seems like instruction have come. Some people are saying maybe the allies such as the U.S. have instructed their allies in the region. As Israel is called the greatest ally in the region, maybe to stop that bombardment. But he indicated that he also ordered the stop of bombardment, and also to look at negotiations, particularly with the government of Lebanon. But you must be able to understand that what is happening here is that Israel, after the Hezbollah have attacked in response to the attack of Israel and the USA to Iran, Israel came up with a strategy to say they are now starting to expand their land by taking over some of part of Lebanon, to make sure that apparently it's for security, but it's also extending the territory of Israel. But when you look at international law, you're asking yourself a question to say, which rule book these guys are operating with, and on what ground are these things happening? Because it's not only happening on that aspect, it's also happening in West Bank, in Gaza. But understand that that has been one of the activities which is happening there in Lebanon, particularly when the Israeli army took over land and also chased away citizens from their houses to say, no, this one now is part of Israel for our security. But on that ground, it also indicated that seems like the peace will come to the region, because world leaders, even the allies of Israel, they were very angry about why are you continue to fight even in a situation where people are starting to bring about peace and also stability in the region, where Iran and also USA, they say no, after the whole month of fighting, men must sit and discuss issues and also sort them diplomatically. And there have been discussion to say, it seems like Iran has outplayed the U.S. because the negotiators of U.S. who went there, the proposal that they have been denying is the proposal that they came up with. And it seems like Iran came out powerful from this war, particularly in claiming their security, claiming the control of the Strait of Hormuz, and also asking for permanent guarantee that, they are not going to be attacked in the future. And they are also looking at the ceasefire from all what they call, the axis of resistance, or some of the militia or the military group that they support. Either is Hamas, either is Hezbollah, either is the Houthis in Yemen. But seems like U.S. has also stated, no, the proposal is workable, although they don't agree with all the 10-point proposal. But let's see how things are going. But you must be able to understand that there's also indication that a few ships from the U.S. have also passed through the Strait of Hormuz, And it seems like when people understand economic interest, then I think this will find its conclusion. And we must be able to also to understand that Iran has managed to keep the Strait of Hormuz closed, even with a damaged navy. Even when Trump indicated that the navy was, 50, kilometers underground. But they happen to say, no, it's only through authorization of Iran that you are going to pass through that, and you are going to charge fees from that aspect. Maybe in 2 months, the price of oil will also go back to normal. But the question is, for how long is that fragile peace going to be there? Now, this is not a news at all when IMF chief has warned that Iran will slow global economic growth. That has already been predicted, either it's in Africa, either it's in Asia, to say if you choke the global, the world choke point, especially where it's getting 20% of global oil trade, you must understand that your economy eventually will also be impacted. Now, there is something very interesting happening in Tanzania. To say the president of Tanzania, President Samia Suluhu Hassan, has indicated or gave an instruction in the reduction of convoys, particularly to either to civil servants, especially ministers and also VIPs, in order to save oils. It stated that Tanzanian President Hassan, whose motorcades also reported among the largest in Africa, is cutting down on the number of official and also luxury vehicles as part of measures to save fuel and oil price rise. And it's quite a very good thing, because the other thing of saving the economy, so cutting down on state vehicles, particularly where you have an envoy, because if you think Namibia has a long envoy, particularly motorcades, you are mistaken. Maybe we have the shortest motorcades in Africa. If you look at Zimbabwe, either he's a vice president, either he's a commissioner of police, you will not understand. His protection is so tight, and more than not less than 15 cars. Then you also have to include the police, the VIP, the protection, and all the measures in place. And just do not understand. But I think it's a good measure from Ms. Samir to say she understands how the economy is working. That's why she's cutting on motorcades and also some of the officials to save the economy of the country. And when you look at other countries such as Madagascar declared a state of emergency to reduce fuel consumption, where South Africa cut fuel levy, where Ethiopia on the other side is also looking at cutting off that levy. But Senegal banned all essential foreign trips for government ministers. And they know that to save the economy, particularly in terms of fuel, it's a quite a move, because if an official was supposed to travel by plane to go to South Africa to attend the meeting, why can't the person attend online to save the fuel? And also, if you are a very important person in the community, which nobody should deny that, you must also look at the economy. That's why there are instructions. We are waiting for other countries also to look into that aspect, because when it comes to protection and also envoys, you will also be able to realize that there is a lot of resources that are put out there. But the fact of the matter is that everything is running on fuel, and that can only be the measure. And I think this is I think Meme Samia Suluhu Hassan It's quite making good moves, particularly when it comes to the economy, because the other time she got around $500 million from international financial institutions, particularly to tackle youth unemployment in Tanzania. And also you keep looking at upgrading of youth training and also creating opportunity for them in business enterprises. And you realize that Tanzania has been known to have prudent economic and also radical economic policies. And also when it comes to, you know, economic advancement and also infrastructure, because remember when the late John Pombe Magufuli, who was known as a bulldozer, because when he came to the project, he have to see its final conclusion, has left up to standard infrastructure. Either it's upgraded airports, either it's, you know, the railway station, either it's tourism infrastructure. He was known as a bulldozer because he's a guy who can come to a community and mobilize funds himself as a president. And also looking at the project, but we also start realizing that Mme Samia Suluhu also making those moves, particularly when you have to react on the economy and also find a way on protecting your economy. To say, it stated that her convoy was known to be around 30 car convoy, and that also brought a lot of conversation regarding African presidential convoy. And also, she has one of the continent longest motorcades, because 30 cars on the road, it's not only one trip. Imagine if you are moving around and you are visiting places, the amount of fuel that you are using. And these cars must also run at an understandable pace. And not only that, you also need emergency fuel. And you need all the officials out there, because it will end up at 40. But it seems like it's a very good move that she has made. Maybe other countries also follow suit, particularly when it comes to saving of oil and also, you know, reserving some for the future. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation, especially looking at the continental affairs and also what is happening around.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Ikurane ngelo wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa nune uto otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Get social with us on.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe. It's 33 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. And we are looking at continental affairs, particularly looking at issues of development. There's a report by AFP that is looking at Africa headshake economy. And Africa headshake economy is known to be the informal economy. And this is also going to relate with us also in Namibia, particularly when you are going to look at the reports. That is looking at Africa headshake economy. It's looking at, let's ask a question to say, can Africa informal economy become the continent next investment frontier? To say, how do you bridge that gap? And I think it's the same question which was asked by Bank of Namibia, to say, how do you integrate informal economy to the real economy? Stated that most African economy operates in the shadow, or at least on paper economy. And there's an estimation that 85% of the workers are active in the informal sector, conducting businesses beyond official system, often through cash-based or trust-driven transaction. That is 85% of the workers in Africa, you know, in the informal sector, who are conducting businesses in the informal sector. And the question that was asked is that can Africa informal economy become a continent and next investment frontier? But what you also need to understand is that when you say it's Namibian problem, it's also not only Namibian problem. And that should also not be a reason to say we justify that we have an informal economy problem. But it's also, when you look at the Namibian context, for example, where you have almost 60% of employees in Namibia are in the informal sector, you understand that the issue is so big that, you know, when it's coming to the formal way of doing things, we're a bit far. That's why there is a need to integrate that aspect. And Richard Okero, the co-founder and partner of Sango Capital, that is one of the investment firm that has dedicated around 1 billion to bridge that gap of informal economy, has indicated that there is a strategy to look at converting what is described as headshake economy into a structured economy, because there is a great investment that is being done now by local firms to make sure that, and also developmental, you know, agencies to make sure that there is integration of informal economy to the formal economy, because you need the data. And one of the aspects which were indicated here is that there is a gap in terms of data and also information, particularly when it comes to the way of doing business. Because it stated that it discourages also global investors, because global investors have indicated that this lack of formal data signaling risk, particularly in terms of, you know, trusting of the way of doing business, particularly when it comes to Africa. And there is... And this report is quite in line with what our Bank of Namibia have done. particularly when you are looking at the report of diagnosis of informality. But the question is that what will be done moving forward, and also what will be done in the long run, particularly if you want to save, you know, the people that are working within the informal sector. And looking at the development, I still want to see one of the recommendations of that report of last year in Namibia to be implemented, because there's a lot of good things which were said there. I'm still waiting, especially to look at that context and also see what are some of the recommendation from the informality to be implemented. While we are there, it is indicated that when it comes to the aspect of UN and the report which was given. So when it comes to UN and the report which was given, it stated that over the past three years, around 1,008 workers were killed in Gaza, especially by Israel, armed forces, when the bombardment has started. And these are not Palestinians. You speak about aid workers, speak about employees of international institution, either it's Red Cross, either it's UN, either it's any other institution that is dealing with war, either it's refugee agencies. Over 1,000 aid workers were killed just in 3 years, especially which are part of over 70%, over 70,000 Palestinians who died in Gaza. What was regarded as genocide, especially from the assessment done by United Nations independent body. And when they say genocide, because remember, when there is a genocide committed, somebody has to pay because of that war against crimes against humanity, because genocide is noted to be a crime against humanity. But the question is that are the Israelis going to pay for what they have done in Gaza, or is just going to end there? Because up to now, remember that up to now, Germany is still paying the fees, reparation fees to the Jewish communities of what, because of the work that they have done, because of the work of Germany that has done in 1940s there, during the Second World War. But the question is that what happened in Gaza, is it still going to go unaccounted for, or there is still time to come through? And somebody may also want to ask, where is the Board of Peace? Where is the Board of Peace? Because remember, there is a Board of Peace that was established. It's a Board of Peace that was established by the President of the United States of America. And countries have shown intention of joining. Either it's European countries, either it's in Africa. I think Egypt was also part of that delegation. But what progress is the Board of Peace? Because the fundamental aim of Board of Peace is to look at the future of reconstruction of destruction in Gaza, and also make sure that it also extend the role of peacekeeping around the world. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at Al Jazeera reporter Mohammed Wishaha, who was killed by a drone, by Israeli's drone, that is in Gaza. You are really asking yourself a question to say, how can you just target a journalist like that, where his car was targeted and it was burned down, and the international community his morning. This is a well-known guy. We've been giving reports on the ground, either it's on TV or on print or what, on print media or also online media. But we'll be able also to see that it's a great loss, especially looking at Al Jazeera, because Al Jazeera penetrate many areas and has been feeding a lot of media around. But you see a journalist targeted by a drone. It's really getting out of order. But let's look at a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune ujo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabwiri nawa ningepata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Get social with us on it.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, especially looking at what is happening around the world. And it was stated that Al Jazeera journalist was targeted by a drone, and his car was burned down in Gaza. And it's noted to be an Israeli drone, because Mohammed Wisha, at one point, he was identified as, he was accused as, a member of Hamas. And recently, his car was targeted and shot down and bent beyond repair by a targeted, armed drone. And understand that that is what journalists are going through, especially in that that war zone country. And, we'll be able also to see If you watch TV, there's a guy who has been updating you on everything which was happening, especially in Gaza. But unfortunately, that what has happened. And this is also says a lot about the narrative of war, because the currently the war which is being fought is beyond just the war to go and win, but it's also a war of narrative to say what public image too is it giving to the opponent, what public image too is also giving. Because one of the things that you'll be able to see that when you look, for example, what happened with Iran and USA, what people did not understand is that it was undeniable that USA have stronger firepower. And although Trump likes saying it's the greatest in the world by far, and it was never seen before, you will really be able to understand that their technology was so advanced, and they can be able to pinpoint you and take down most of the generals of Iran. But what they did not win is a war of narrative, and they were not very good with public relations. That's why they're not good at branding their intention. Then you'll be able to see that the foreign minister, Barachi, of Iran, was regarded as a hero because he was able to communicate effectively, particularly the intention and what they do. And believe me, you, it's not everything that the Iranian, if you want to get things right, it's not everything that the Iranian, you know, have done to their people is right. But with this war, they were having more advantage, particularly when it comes to defending their country, and more advantage too when it comes to having a best communicator. I think saves you a lot, and also having a good public relations. But when you look at Israel, you can also be able to understand that even when they start reasoning and identifying to say people are attacking us, people are cornering us, you will not even be able really to see, because they have also lost the war of public relations. Because, you know, in this world, you are not only fighting with guns, but you also need to make sure that people understand you and also why you are fighting. But if you look at journalists being shot down by a drone, that also says a lot about the value that you have to human rights, and also the value that you have also to press. Because after all, you need to communicate your message through press. But if you are taking it down, then you are blinding the whole world, and it's going to be very difficult, particularly when it comes to that aspect. And yeah, we are going to a short commercial break. As I indicated today, we will be speaking about something that happened just in our trade with the disappearance of, it's not a disappearance, but I think it's the exiting of uranium from the top 5 export commodities in Namibia, particularly the recent release statistics that is from Namibia Statistics Agency, that is looking at the Namibia trade, and also that is looking at how we have done, especially when it comes to the month of February. But the main concern and the question that we'll be looking at today, it's a question of the future, to say if you want to save our country for another, you know, economic shock, what is the disappearance or the exiting of uranium from the top 5 export commodities say about our international trade balance? What is it saying also about the future? And what does it mean? And we also need the trade analysts to interpret this aspect to say, what does it mean? Does it mean that it's just like any other normal commodities? Does it mean the world does not want? Does it mean the world does not want our uranium anymore, or they have found a better market? Or does it mean that they are not paying us at the price that they have been paying us? Or does it mean that other products have outperformed uranium? And at one trade, and you look at the percentage, you also get shocked, because it's nowhere in number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, and number 5. And this is not a usual thing. This is not a usual thing, because if you take all your reports, month to month report, of international trade, then you'll also be able to say that uranium has always been there. Even at its weakest, has always been there. And our main trading partner has been China, France, and Iran was out of the picture already for a long time. North Korea was out of the picture already for a long time. But understand that today that is what you're going to look at, particularly also of the danger of a single market. So let's go to a short commercial break and look at the international trade balance and also ask a question to say, maybe we should come up with measures on protecting this fluctuation or protecting this sudden change, not to suffer the way we have suffered with diamond, not to suffer the way we have suffered with diamond, because with diamond we have been advising each other to say, colleagues, let's do something. Let's maybe do final products in Namibia. Let's diversify our economy. Let us add more value to our diamond so that we can get more money from the world. We've been saying about that until to the point people say no. Scientists have discovered that it's easier to come up with a lab-made diamond. It's more cheaper and it's also shiny than a natural diamond. Then the demand of diamond has gone down. That's why you see where we are now in terms of economic ranking. And you also see what the moves Botswana is doing, being one of the highest producer of diamond. And also you see that it's looking at other avenues apart from owning their diamond production and processing. They are looking at other avenues. Then the question is that in a situation where uranium is no more needed, what can we do with it?
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nene uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushenjife nawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
the
of
the Ellie Bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Ellie Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, it's 58 minutes past the hour of six, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at trade. We are looking at trade statistics. And also ask a question the same. When our president spoke about diversification of the economy, when our president spoke about Namibia to add value to its products, who did not get that instruction? And also, who also did not get that instruction? And who is not doing his job? Particularly when you have a good president with good intention who said Namibia will focus on economic diversification. And also to stop exporting, jobs. Now, January 2026, the top export commodities was dominated by uranium, which was at number one. Then you have non-monetary gold, you have precious stones, and also petroleum, oils, and fish. Now, these have been top five export commodities. But when it comes to February, the top guy just disappeared. And if it was in class, it also shocked the teacher. But to us also, let's look at NIP and come back.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event.
And the performance of uranium is like that kid who has been a number one, number two, and number three in class. Then all of a sudden, he become number 20. Now the teacher have to stop and say, no. There's something which is not right here. It cannot be correct. Something is wrong somewhere, and we must find a plan on how to deal with that. Even when it comes to export commodities, we must also look at that, because it's not just a normal way of saying, no, it's weaker. You cannot come from position number one to nowhere. At least if you did not study very well, maybe you are still an A student. But if you come from being the first in class, then you become the last in class. You are not even in the top five, in the top 10. Something is not right. But before you go to those commodities and compare them, let us look at the generic and the focus of international trade balance of the month of February. The latest statistics are indicating that when it comes to the month of February, Namibia export value for the month of February stand at 6.6 billion. You know, this is indicating that the money that we got when we sold our commodities is at 6.6 billion. And it's a major decrease. Maybe this will also be able to tell you that somebody was not paid at the price that he used. Nobody used to be paid. Or maybe somebody did not sell. Because it can even reflect within its summary of its trade, indicating that export value of February 2026 stood at 6.6 billion, and that is a decrease of 42.2% when compared to the export value of the month of January 2026. In simple terms, it's indicating that the export or the money that we get from export commodities or export product has decreased with almost, not almost 50%, but with 42%. And in that aspect, you'll be able to indicate that Namibia got 6.6 billion from that trade. And when it comes to import, we still spend more on import. Our export, our import expenditure is standing at 11.8 billion. And indicating that there is an increase of 5.3%, which means that our export has gone down and our import has increased with 5%. And the gap or the deficit or the money that lost in that exchange is 5.2 billion. Now, this will not be generalized because we understand that the market, there is a lot of dynamics in the market. Either it's logistics, either it's the change in terms of price. There's a lot of dynamics. Either it's seasons. There's a lot of things that are involved. But one must also be able to ask a question, especially when it comes to why our export has gone down so much. And also, what happened to that guy, or to that commodity that has been saving us for a very long time? It's even recorded by Bank of Namibia and also in many other economic reports to say uranium has always been at the center of saving us. Now, if we come to who do you sell to? That is a very important question to say. Who do you sell to? Over 80% of our uranium, or maybe 90%, we sell to China. And we also sell some to France and also other countries, but mainly it's China. And the question that we have asked beforehand is the question of economic scenario planning to say, if you are bringing about economic scenario planning to say, you are only selling to David all your products, and he's buying them cash every time. But in the situation that David find another supplier who have quality and cheaper, you are not only going to lose David, you are also going to lose your income, because you will be forced to look for other economy. But you are supposed to say, yes, I'm selling to David, I'm also selling to Matthias, I'm also selling to HD, and I'm also selling to Simeon. In a situation where David is no more, buying from me, or is no more honoring my contract, or our friendship just changed, because things can change anytime, or we just did not meet each other based on that contract, you can still make more money. That's why today we are speaking about what can we do to make sure that we diversify our trade, and what is the danger of a single market. Single market economy. It's not only about who you sell to, it's also about where you buy. It's the same question we have also asked to say, why we were so shocked when they closed down the Strait of Hormuz, while we have oils in the neighbor and in the continent of Africa. Why we are so shocked in that aspect? That is what happens when you have a danger of a single market. But I think in the course of the day, I will speak with Happy Juju, maybe to speak to some analysts to indicate, to say what really happened in the global trade of uranium. Because this did not even, this was even before the war. Remember, it's a statistic of the month of February. This was even before the war. What would happen if you have to look at, what would happen if you have to look at the trade balance of March? What would happen? Especially when it's coming to uranium. Are we going to see it again, or we are not going to see it anymore? What really happened in that aspect? Now, you come to you come to the export commodities, you have the top five export commodities where you have non-monetary gold, which is contained 25% of total export commodities, then followed by fish, and fish is doing very well, which has which have 20% of you know, the export commodities. Then you also followed by precious stones. This include diamonds. Now you must get me right. When you speak about diamonds being part of the top five, it means that our trade, our export really performed very bad, because it's there with only 2.9 percent of the total export commodities. And the fourth commodity is petroleum oil with 1.5, and also ore and other concentrates with 0.9. Now, we must ask a very big question to say, where is uranium in the top five? If the last guy or the last commodity in the top five commodities in terms of export is at 0.9, did we not sell? Did we lost the market? Did China got another customer? Or we are still going to do it? Or maybe the statistic, Namibia Statistic Agency did not get things right. Because you can't move from number one to zero. It's not correct. You can't move from having distinction in class. You know, when we were at school, there were that the one guy who was very smart. He's an engineer now. He does not study, but get all the A's from the class. And there was a point that he just surprised everybody. I don't know if he did not study or, and the teachers were very angry to say, no, you can't become number five in this class. No. We are talking to parents. And you are going to talk to the headman if it's possible, because there is no way that you can from number one top to number five. Now, that is also indicating to you that we had a lot of expectation from uranium. But what happened? The question is that what happened to the month of February? Did we not get the data right, or is just a worse performance? Because if your fifth product is indicating that has 0.9% of or has 1% to say of total export commodities, it means that uranium is way. What percentage is uranium in the month of February? Maybe you should also talk to NSA and ask a question to say, can you give us that percentage? What really happened? Did we not sell? Or the market has collapsed? Or did, because there is something that I'm not saying is true. We have discussed with one of my callers who is very good with global economic trade, who stated that, look, Canada is looking at China to renew trade and also find better ways of making business. Then, we look at the ranking. We are the top jitters in terms of uranium production in the world. We are the top. We are the kings of uranium in the world, and Canada is number two, following Kazakhstan. In that aspect, what if China got a new better deal from Canada? And what are we going to do? Or maybe they just did not want. And the question, and this is it looks like a small thing, but it's a very big thing actually, because you can't move from number one to nothing. And who is going to hold our economy in the next 6 months? Is it going to come back? And if it's come back at one point, because we'll be shocked if it's come back from nothing to number one, because in January it was number one export commodity. In February, finito, finish, out of order, nowhere to be found. Maybe it's coming back. But our main conversation is not to mock or to give a negative picture on the future of the economy. The main conversation should be, what is the danger of a single market economy, and what can we learn from this? How can we protect our uranium not to shock us the way we're shocked by diamond? And what alternative do we have? What alternative do we have in a situation that that precious commodity is not there? So, and how is it going to affect the Namibian economy on top of the global shocks? And if you do economic scenario planning, let's imagine when the statistic of March come out, understand that the statistic of March come out, maybe it's coming back to the top five. But I doubt, because March was the worst month in terms of global trade, because of disruption in terms of, the war in the Middle East. But the question should always be to say, do we have a plan? Do we have a plan to diversify that economy? Do we have a plan to add value? Or maybe the plan of making sure that instead of us continue exporting, why can't we come up with our own industries that can be productive in 20 years? Because if you are not concerned about the performance of uranium, you do not know where you are. Because this is not a mistake. It's a message from international trade indicating to you that anything can happen to you, to your best commodity that you rely on so much. In 2010, if you follow very well, economists have been advising to say raw materials become problematic. We lose more money from exporting raw materials, and we must add value to our product. If we don't, then we'll lose down in terms of that. Let's look at Imba and come back shortly.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Stop everything. With fuel prices up, USave has slashed the cost of your grocery bill like never before. All the essentials you need. Groceries, fruit, veggies, baby stuff, toiletries, and a great combo at unbelievable prices. Only up to Sunday the 19th of April. Tell your friends and get to your nearest USave to stock up before Sunday, 19 April 2026.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite ofoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili nehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumuna oijawiri nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombele, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And there is an indication to say when you look at the ongoing talks between Iran and USA, to say Pakistan will be hosting the US-Iran peace talk. But it seems like the President of United States of America, Donald Trump, has delegated the Vice President to lead that US delegation, especially to join Steve Witkoff. And from Iranian side, it's also indicated that Mohammed Baghdad Ghariba and Foreign Minister Abba Arachi are going to lead the delegation. And you really look at the good case study, particularly to the student of international relations and diplomacy, to learn what will happen, particularly in that negotiation. Because you also need to understand that if you have to do a comparative analysis, from the Iranian side, you have PhD holders in international relations and also political geography. On the side of USA, you have business people, a real estate, mogul, and also J.D. Vance, who was a military journalist at some point, but also within the rank of the army. But you'll be able to understand that Iranian, they have proven to have most educated people in all the interaction across the board. And you'll be able also to see the outcome of that. And maybe the reason they have stayed long in that war. Because if you look at the Speaker of Parliament, who has been very vocal, especially looking at that aspect, all these guys, they are just, they studied either it's political geography, political science, international relation, or international law. And you also understand that you also do not need to underestimate the U.S. because U.S. is coming from a business background. It's coming from the capitalist background. They are coming with the interest. That's why a lot of people are saying, no, Witkoff is not a good negotiator. That's why the war has started. But you also need to understand that, it depends on where you are coming from, because the politics of every country is defined by the background and interest. If you look, for example, in the politics of Germany, look at most of the leaders, their technical background, engineers and all this. Look at the U.S., you have business people and also lawyers. And look at China, it's a different case. You have a military and also you also have a background in science. But it seems like Abba Arachi is a well-known, respected guy. He has been a communicator of policies of Iran during war. And he was a guy who was threatened to say, no, we are going to kill you. He said, no, I'll be very happy. I'll be very happy if you kill me, because to us, the death fighting for Iran is a blessing. And he's just a very incredible guy to look into. But we are hoping that that negotiation of Iran and U.S. will come to the conclusion. Particularly now that it's a war of the mind, because diplomacy is known as a war by other means. To say when we are not able to fight each other, we are not able to defeat each other on the battleground, let us outplay each other in the game of diplomacy. And it's also known as a game of compromise. But you must really be able to understand that if we cannot learn anything from this war, we will never learn anything anymore. Either it's diplomacy, either it's interest, either it's how to handle oil and gas, and also either it's how to deal with superpowers. Either is also how to look at international law. If you cannot learn one or two things, from this home will not learn anything anymore. Good morning.
Yes, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
Fine.
How are things going?
Yeah, I said it many times.
Yeah.
Empire cannot negotiate.
Come again?
An empire cannot negotiate.
An empire?
Ah, no.
But it's forced on the table now.
No, they cannot negotiate. Even if you are saying apparently Wyckoff is a bad negotiator, he's not going there to negotiate, just to impose. But the problem, the small, you know, state, like, you know, Iran, they want to the diplomacy to negotiate. That's why every time when the U.S. come on the table and these people don't want, in the middle of what they are bombing it. Let me tell you one thing. You know, did you know that Americans, they want to use nuclear bomb to bomb, you know, Iran?
But is it going to be effective? It was the last option, eh?
When you are saying you are going to send them to a stone age, what do you mean?
But is that a win or a loss?
What?
Yeah, the using of a nuclear when you are not able to defeat people on one-on-one.
They don't care. I tell you to them, war is a sport. Dominating to them is a lifeline.
But do you think, looking at how things are now, do you think what is the guy, the 1945 guy? Is it Truman who bombed Japan again? Do you think there is a chance of bombing of using a nuclear? Because a lot of people were saying maybe not really to say the is also mother of all bombs that was not used. There are a lot of things in the U.S.
That's why I'm telling you. If you are saying you are sending them the Stone Age, what do you mean?
I know it's not a threat.
It's a threat, but the delay should be concluded the last minute. You understand?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah?
I hear you.
Because some people were saying apparently at the time that Belgium is already sending their bombers, they're already in 7 hours, maybe 7 hours before. They were already in the air. Yes. They knew.
But when you are looking at the vice president of U.S. going to handle that negotiation, is it not telling you that U.S. want also peace?
I say that stop using the word negotiation. Americans are not negotiating.
But it's what they are saying. It's what they are saying.
That is the word that they are using.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, they're not negotiating. They are just imposing.
But what do you think is going to be the outcome?
The outcome.
Yeah.
That's why you see me. Israel is still bombing. Israel is still want the war to continue. Why? Because the Israelis, they want the American to use, you know, the excessive force against the Iranians.
Because
these things like that, things will just go back to normal. Things will just go back to where it was. Then the Iranians, they continue to do what they are doing. It's also to build the capacity to defend their country. Because Iranians, they also want to be an empire. It's a test for each country. It just depends at which stage are you.
And I was also thinking, once Iran become a powerhouse, you know, it can also outplay other bigger players because its position is becoming stronger every time it's fighting with bigger guys. Yeah.
What is being scared is to say, look, when Iranian gets the capacity up to even a nuclear bomb, he's going to be proper in the Middle East, then the U.S. interest is no longer
relevant.
It's no longer relevant. Having military base there can no longer, it's useless.
It has also proven, and the military base, those ones, they also proven to be not useful anymore.
No, it's the military, that's why, They don't need in this country like the United Rabbi, Kuwait, or Iraq, all those ones who in Saudi Arabia, who need their, who sought sovereignty most to America for protection. That one is will become useless, will no longer need it for us.
Somebody was saying these guys were just busy buying yachts and other things while Iran was preparing. But I get your point, because I think it's also not a good neighbor, because they knew exactly why the military bases were put there. Did they not know?
Look, for them, they just a matter of realizing. And then take, you know, when you understand the power and you see where the water is going, the reality of the whole, you know, thing that you call the world and countries, you know, you only realize that, look, whoever has power, that's why you can see all those international laws and what. Americans did not follow all those things.
No, they are not. They are not even. There is nobody who is following those things, things anymore. Even Israel.
You came to realize that even United Nations zero, they were nowhere to be found. Just wait.
But why do they do that to Africa? Why do they call us to go and answer ourselves there where they are not using it?
That's why I said that at the end of the day, my dear. That's the thing that you call international laws and your laws United Nations structure. Those are illusions until the power speak. You have been pushed through that system. So, but others cannot follow those systems because they know. When you are in that system, you are not going to achieve anything.
Just hold on.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do. With Express Credit's Easy Payday Loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Okay, now let's come back at home. I was looking for this economist and he's not come. I think he's sleeping. He was supposed to come through. What do you think happened to our uranium? It just vanished from the trade list.
Sheldon, there's nothing you did not say in that conversation. You said
I want your opinion.
No, my opinion is just like yours.
Oh, okay.
For us, it's a matter of just learning. To say, even you mentioned the issue of diversification.
Yeah.
I told you many times, we always talk to you, look, whatever you are saying is the export or what. Those are natural raw materials. And that's how the economy of a client state, that is the foundation of it.
And I'm really shocked though by just, you can't be a top performer and you just disappear even from the top 10.
Look, that's what I said. Look, what is similar? We have one thought to this way. By the Chinese, they said, look, and that's why they were trying out to compare the leadership of Mao Zedong and the leadership of her. The role of Mao Zedong and the role of Deng Xiaoping who follow him, to say, look, the policy that Mao Zedong was following is to close China, to the world. Then when Xiaoping came in, he said, look, if you are just there, in your country, not knowing what this other country are doing, one day you will get the people start bombing you because you don't know.
You must know. You must go to the world.
You must go to the world. That's why they have now to put some policy, opening a policy, and they put strong measures there, which are No, the opening policy would do like, be like this and this and this. We open here, there, we are going to do A, B, C, D, you like that. Because you see, they never like destroy the whole intention of Mao Zedong in terms of the closing. The opening also have strengthened that. They opened, but because then they went to learn how international politics can work. Economy work. You see, they have to go get that knowledge. Because they, for them to deal with the world, how are you going to work with the world when you don't know what the world is? It's a level.
I hear you.
Here, after, is just the knowledge that that we are depriving ourselves because we are only on one side.
Yeah, I hear you.
The way we're designed, even if it's no longer relevant. Other countries are trying to move away.
But we are still over and over. But do you think we still have a chance, right?
No, the chance is there. We are alive. Namibia still here. Are we not here? The young generation is not there. They are there. The country is there. The chance is there. Every day, yes, we are speaking, the chance is there.
It's standing there every day. Okay. Let's give opportunity to others and we can come back.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll continue the conversation. As I was saying, the chance is still there. We are still there. And that's why it's always very important to make sure that, you know, and I have a problem with our academics. You know, when you meet academics and you speak to them, they are speaking a very good language. But when academics are given an opportunity to do something of the state, and I think they are deceiving our state. They were supposed to speak things that they speak in the street. They were supposed to speak them in those boardrooms. Because you really find people with good policies. I have seen a lot of, not only economists, I've seen public administrators, policy analysts who speak very well on a private basis. Some of them, they don't even come on. And I'm very angry about that. Why can't you speak those things to those who have power so that they can change it? Why can't you advise? Because you're also betraying our state. Because if you are a mining engineer or you are a petroleum expert and you know exactly what is happening around the global trade market, you don't need to speak this thing in the street. You need to speak them closer to those who have power. Because sometimes a person can be in power, but still need your advice. The Minister of Energy need your advice. The Minister of Trade need your advice. Everybody need your advice. Because if you can see that, that's why we are just sitting down. Now uranium vanished from top five export. And I'm not scared. What's scaring me is that it vanished even before the war. And I'm still waiting for the report of March to see what have happened. Because if it vanished in February, what will happen to March? March, I don't know. But that should really be a concern, because if the bank is saying we depend much on uranium have saved us in 2025, we must really speak and do something about it. But yeah, the conversation should continue beyond the obvious, and also see what need to be done. Rather say that we still have a chance. Young generation is still there, because we can't continue thinking the same. We can't continue doing the same thing for over and over. I've seen a lot of people, they criticize Son, myself included, but we must understand that there are also people that have not done their job. A president gave directive, and she can't be in all ministry and all departments. Even if you brought the data which are not right, there is a lot of work to do. It's your job to make sure that things are done. And also, you know, I also have a problem with the opposition parties to say, what is their role apart from criticizing? Because remember, and this is the fact that there is a high probability that you may be an opposition for a certain period of time, but you cannot wait until you become a ruling party so that you can change things. there are things that they also need to put in order, apart from speaking. You can have an alternative developmental project that you are working. Because some of these opposition parties who have been around, they are also richer than bigger corporates. But what are they doing on top of lawmaking? And that those roles should really be well defined to say, what have you done when you also have resources that you can do? Did you build any institutions? Did you build any, and you have a right to build companies from that, that money? We have seen, and I think, a discussion should just be, should be balanced really to see. We have seen a lot of, people being, laid off in a situation when, the numbers of seats of a party declined. But the question is that what have you done all those years to maintain that financial flow? Because at the end of the day, we must all build Namibia. We cannot just say, no, man, Tumba, things are not going right. Because if we are going to be like that, academicians must, especially academicians who take platform there are those who got opportunity to speak closer to power. And there are those who got opportunity really to be in the corridors of power. But what they do, what they speak in the street is not what they speak. Maybe yes, we can protect our bread. Everybody has a bread to protect. But honestly, that uranium, we must find out where it has gone. Because otherwise, if we are not outwit, not outplayed, maybe outsmarted, maybe China got a better offer. Maybe people are not selling us at the price that we sell anymore. But we continue to open minds here. Because since COVID-19, I was trying to see if I make a mistake. Since COVID-19, look at month to month basis, you realize to say no. Uranium has always been top five. Either it's top three, top two, number one, number four. But now, maybe we are going to get it right moving through the course of the year. Now, let us look at the Villager newspaper to say on top of the Villager newspaper, there is an indication that Namibia trade picture refused to change, trading with SA and exporting raw materials. There is nothing new. Just to look at international, trade statistics to say the picture is still the same. The conversation become louder. Maybe I'm going to change it one by one. You say progress take time, but the picture of our trade balance continue to be the same. But also surprisingly, continue to be the same and surprising us to say same trading partners, same volumes of commodities, and also continue with raw materials. While we are also speaking about Africa Continental Free Trade Area, have somebody even thought about us trading uranium within the continent of Africa through Africa Continental Free Trade Area? Or we are only speaking about basket, clothes, salt. Have you ever thought about real minerals circulating around Africa through Africa Continental Free Trade Area? Because those are very critical questions that we should ask ourselves, because the trend is set to that extent that it seems like it's only something for external world. If we ever see ourselves trading uranium with Nigeria or with Burkina Faso, if it does not come to your picture of thinking when you speak about Africa Continental Free Trade Area, then we have a very, very, very long way to go. Because if you have never thought of Namibia selling either its diamond or either its copper, maybe we sell copper to Zambia. Maybe we sell copper to South Africa. Maybe we sell gold to the continent of Africa without losing that money through foreign exchange. But look on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, get that content to say trade of Namibia did not change so far. We are as we have been. Trade with SA, our main partner, and also, you know, trade with raw materials. And you have asked this question to say, in a situation, when SA got tired of us, we are not saying it's going to get tired of us, but the economic scenario planning of international trade has already told you to say, you cannot be friend forever. Interests, they change. New partners are always emerging. New minerals are always discovered. New offers are always being given. And the people are negotiating every day. Meetings are being held every day. In a situation where SA say, no, colleagues, you either buy at this price or you go home. What are you going to do? And we still want to see, when we speak about economic diversification, what have we done? But we still have a long way to go. And as I said, we still have a chance. And I also believe that, you know, we still have a chance to get our things right. Because if we are just sitting and say, no, the status quo is as it is, it will not work. So, looking at page 3, University of Namibia, 2026 April graduation, that started yesterday, the Southern Campus. Katima Muriro is on Tuesday. Rundu Campus is on the 16th of April. Northern Campus, and that is including HP and also Jose Eduardo dos Santos, engineers there. The graduation is on the 22nd of April, and Windu Campus, Venduk, end of April, that is the 28th, and you have sessions, you have Faculty of Health and Social Science, Faculty of Health Science and Veterinary Medicine, you have Faculty of Commerce, Management and Law, you have Education, you have Humanity, and also Agriculture and Engineering. Get the whole information about the graduation information from page 3 of the Villager newspaper.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe wia kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Oyaita kwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opauni ngo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanma ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia oshipu ne ngono lando kashako oko KG mwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi Longwashe, ndeto SMS o shicha, instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulmo milongo na tunali mwe amarija, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
It's graduation of University of Namibia, and make sure that you get to that information. And also, there are also those people who went to university, and it's not to mock anybody. For 7 years, ask them a question to say, when are you graduating? What assistance do you need? And there's always somebody who is stuck maybe with one module. And also to indicate that you should not give up, because you can really see somebody. There was a calculus at UNAM that was beating people. There was a statistic module, and you really find a person almost done, but just has calculus and the other module. And it has been a core module that you have to pass before, you continue. But you also need to make sure that those guys must get assistance, because university must really come up with a program to say, there is somebody who can pass all the modules in the first 4 years, but will be in the university for the next 3 years just fighting for one module. Either it's research, either it's a certain project. And maybe you have also improved the aspect of doing research at university, because there has always been a problem, particularly when it comes to students and professors, students and supervisors when it's coming to research. Because supervisors don't respond on time, some they get very angry, and somebody want to graduate. That's why, you know, people end up doing a lot of things that are not right, but maybe that's really improved. But those who are graduating, Congratulations. Welcome to the jungle. And you must make sure that you come up with an open mind and also see what you can do. But the best important thing, especially to the graduate, is make sure that you have the right information so that you can be able to move forward. So you look at page 4. It's indicated that agricultural output declined by 8.9% to 7.6 billion Namibian dollars. And go and read Sona, and go and read the Villager newspaper, page 4, and ask yourself a question: who has which data are corresponding, which data are not corresponding? And also make sure that you also look at the real impact on the ground, because agriculture output declined by 8%. That should really be agriculture can be defined in a lot of things. To say it can be a seasonal issue, it can be other factors, but let's read and also learn on what we need to do. Yeah, looking at page 5, stated that UNAM and partner explore Namibia power to X potential. They say that the University of Namibia and Stargardt University of Applied Sciences aim to explore various energy and synthetic fuel that Namibia can produce through green hydrogen. Get the copy of the Villager newspaper, page 5, and get that content. Your shop, right? Sorry. We have a Vuman block, and that is page 6. That is Vuman block products. We speak about real good chicken mix portion at $79.99 of 1.5 kg. You also have Bagpro fat cake wheat flour for $139.99. That is your 10 kg. You want the Coca-Cola original 2 liter, just at $21.99. And many other products. These things are brought to you by Vuman Block. Either you want a nice rice, you want macaroni, you'll be able to get them, especially from Vuman Block. And moving forward, there is Vervicia Group to say. The Vichia University Group has appointed Mr. Andy Kafita as a group executive officer, designated effective 1st April 2026. And Andy Kafita is racing through the ranks. These are some of the guys that have been in youth politics, but people have disappeared to pursue their own, or have disappeared to grow professionally. It is quite a very good development to see. Especially to say, when you are done with youth politics, you must also contribute to the development of the country, either through academia, and also find your niche or find your interest, because the Kafita here is it's one of the good examples of the young generation of Namibia taking the lead, be able to look at, he's a lawyer by profession. It's a holder of an LLB from the University of Namibia, and also has an honors degree in industrial sociology and labor from the University of Pretoria, and also has a master's degree in international relations, postgraduate diploma in development finance from the University of Cape Town, and is currently pursuing a PhD at the International University of Management, as well as an MBA. That is a very good, an MBA from University of Johannesburg. and I have served in various board of governance structure, including deputy chairperson of Avicia Health Training Center, council, and the current council member of Avicia University. He also served at NTA. And many other boards. And it's quite a very interesting thing. And I think this is a generation of the youth rig of the Swapo youth rig of I think Joba Mpanda and Ngurare and Erian Ngurare. I think this is one of the most educated generation, and also see what they do, especially looking at that aspect. So Eddie Kafita is now a group chief executive officer at Vervicia. And congratulations. And people, we must always learn from others. To say when somebody is quiet, doesn't mean that he's not doing anything. It means that he's pursuing other interests for the benefit of the country, which is quite really a very good thing. And also to, I think it's also a very good message to youth who are in leadership and politics, to say education can save you from a lot of things. Because once you have that diploma, once you have that qualification, you can still go far, because it's training your leadership and many other things. So over 200 job seekers eye opportunity through Natis Construction, and that is page 8 of the Villager newspaper, indicating that over 200 unemployed young people gathered at the groundbreaking ceremony at the Namibia Traffic Information System, Natis One-Stop Center, in Onahenda on Wednesday, in hope for securing a temporary job. That is how the situation is, particularly looking at Windhoek and also many other parts of Namibia. There's an article by Loise Shimi. This page 9, looking at the butternut beginner successfully sell harvest in one day. That is how needed the agricultural products are. You sell the whole harvest in one day. And that is quite incredible. Helena Adrias, who decided to eliminate processed food from her diet, started the backyard garden in 2021, planting tomatoes, green peppers, and other vegetables. However, speaking to Eagle FM, she indicated that she secured 2 hectares of plot of land, which, which harvest including butternut squash in the latest harvest, and collected 110 kg bags, which the person sold within a day. These are the people that need to be supported if you are contributing to the food production of the country. These are the people really which need to be supported, and also produce and also hold the line of food security in Namibia. Women football shine at annual Tseakuku Easter tournament. There's an article by HD that is indicating that the annual Tseakuku Easter football tournament took place during Easter weekend. I've also seen the women team shining, and you also be able to get the full version of that content from the Villager newspaper. To say football now, it's not only about men but women, because as we are speaking also now, Namibia hold the title of CASAFA championship, particularly with Brave Gladiators. Page 11 show that Holland Grand Prix or Holland Grand Prix series kick off with Mood Landscape race. They stated that the cycling competition of the Holland Grand Prix series has kicked off, and get opportunity and also learn, particularly those who love cycling. And I think I should also take part in competition like this one day. But yeah, looking at page 12, Namibia Beef Industry, Namibia Beef Crossroads. It's an opinionated article. It's an opinionated article by. It's an opinionated article by the CEO of of Mitco. That is Albertus Okumab, and it's worth reading. It's indicated that Namibia's beef crossroads sheep live or build value. It's a question. Or sheep live or build value. It's a question to say, are you able to sell raw materials, or are you able to sell the raw beef, or you are adding value? But get that content from the man himself, who turned around the Mitco, I think in 6 months, particularly looking at where the institution is now. But make sure that you read that that opinionated article that say Namibia beef crossroads ship life or build value. That is a question answered within the opinionated article. And that is the CEO of Mitco. That is Albertus Akumab. He was an ambassador of Namibia to Paris and to UNESCO. And let's read and get that context. So, dear listeners, that brought us to the end of our conversation. And we'll leave you in the good hands of the Big Mike from Ondangwa, who will be able to unpack the day. To say when it comes to unpacking the 10th of April, 2026, what is within the coffer. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. Shop.